This is the military service record of Umbert Francis Confrancesco, born January 25, 1900, in New Haven, Connecticut, in the United States of America. Father's name, Ralph Confrancesco, born in Italy. Mother's maiden name, Elizabeth Chiarleggio, born in Italy. Are you white, colored, Indian, or Mongolian? White. Citizen? Yes. Voter? No. Church? Roman Catholic. Married? No. Fraternal orders? None. Previous military experience? None. Occupation before entry into the service? Student. Graduate of Horace Day Grammar School, 1914. New Haven High School, 1918. About to enter Yale College. Employer? None indicated. Residence before entry into the service. 2 Asylum Street, New Haven, Connecticut, in the county of New Haven. Present home address, 2 Asylum Street, New Haven, Connecticut, in the county of New Haven. War record. Inducted into the service October 3, 1918, in New Haven, Connecticut, as a private, in the Field Artillery Section of the National Army. Identification number, Army Serial Number 4905914. Assigned originally to Battery B, Students Army Training Corps, Yale University, at New Haven, Connecticut. Trained or stationed before going to Europe? Did not go to Europe. Stationed at Yale University, New Haven, Connecticut, from September 26, 1918, to December 19, 1918. Transferred to Special Duty in Office of Quartermaster on November 13, 1918, to the Student Army Training Corps, Yale University, New Haven, Connecticut. Promoted? No. Embarked from? None indicated. Proceeded from? None indicated. Trained or stationed abroad? None indicated. War record. First went into action? None indicated. Participated in the following engagements? None indicated. Cited, decorated, or otherwise honored for distinguished service? None indicated. Killed in action, killed by accident, died of wounds, died of disease, wounded, gassed, shell shock, taken prisoner? None indicated. Under medical care? None indicated. Permanently disabled? None indicated. Discharged from service in New Haven, Connecticut on December 19, 1918, as a private. Returned to civilian life. Occupation, student, class of 1922 at Yale College. If a change of occupation was occasioned by reason of disability acquired in the service, describe the process of re-education and readjustment and indicate the agencies or individuals chiefly instrumental in furnishing the new occupation. None indicated. What was your attitude towards military service in general and towards your call in particular? Answer. Military service is one of the most interesting and vital incidents in a man's life, so far as I am able to judge from my own experience. Military service was new to me in that it seemed to shut out the entire civil world. It is a realm of itself. It has its own way of dealing with problems of a similar character in civil life. It has its own courts, service of supplies, methods of sanitation and hygiene, its own traditions and customs, etc. The Army functions from the standpoint of a maximum of work accomplishment, efficiency, speed, satisfaction, and admiration with a minimum of discomfort for the personnel. Of course, there are exceptions to the above statements. Time and time again, I saw grumblers, those who always complained when detailed for policing or fatigue duty, those who were repeatedly reprimanded for slight infractions of discipline due to carelessness and inattentiveness. No discrimination or preference was evident in the attitude taken toward the members of the Students' Army Training Corps at Yale University. It was indeed curious to see the workings of democracy, for such it was. The attitude towards the officers deserves ample consideration. After all complaints of the psychological incompetence of certain officers, a minority, especially non-commissioned officers, have been thoroughly analyzed. We arrive at the same conclusion. If everyone in command had been unfit to exercise authority in civil life, he was doubly sure of committing like blunders in the Army. In such individual and rare cases of inability to hold power and use it according to judgment, our Army should not be made the center of attacks, for, on the whole, the officers were an efficient, competent, capable set of men who demonstrated their willingness and ability to cope with all situations at all times and under all circumstances. With the above considerations in mind, I took a favorable and impressive attitude toward military service. In my particular work, I was anxious to ascertain the degree of success of military and coeducational work. Although the plan of the Students Army Training Corps as a part of the National Army did not work out as smoothly as expected, nevertheless, creditable work was accomplished. In fact, we may realize the importance of combined military and vocational work by the inducement offered in those lines in the Army at the present time. Question: what were the effects of the camp experience in the United States upon yourself, mental and physical? Answer: the most pronounced effect on me was physical. The human body was a living engine in the Army. With painstaking care, every precaution was taken to safeguard the men's health, especially during the influenza epidemic. In fact, every man was, upon his discharge, healthier, stronger, and stouter. All weaknesses and feeblenesses were eliminated. Backs were straightened, round shoulders disappeared. One of the losses of military training most seriously felt by the ex-soldier will be that of good, healthful physical exercises and drills. Even for no other reason but this, should America adopt some sane plan of giving every able-bodied youth a certain amount of military training. Military training was beneficial mentally as well as physically. One had to be alert, energetic, attentive to any duty. The drills in particular demanded a steady, concentrated mental effort. Military topography taught the man to be keen, observant, appreciative of details under the unusual and sometimes discomforting circumstances. Question: what has been the effect of all these experiences as contrasted with your state of mind before the war? Answer: my idea or state of mind before the war, and I feel certain I am voicing the sentiments of others who have seen service elsewhere, was very dissimilar to my actual experience. I used to think that Army life was very dull and monotonous, lacking that stimulative, creative force which we call spirit, but I found the Army to be as human, if not more, than any other organization, institution, or association of people. By its heterogeneous character, it lacked no worldly element. It contained every variety of people from the point of view of race, nationality, religion, political, domestic, and financial conditions, manners, thoughts, and ambitions. Its diversity made it an attraction, a lovableness in itself. Its morale was high. It was enthusiastic, looking forward to some great accomplishment. This is, indeed, an amazing novel thing to one who has had a rather radically different pre-war conception of the military life and experience. I am of the opinion that all former soldiers have more respect and admiration for the Army and military training than ever. And if ever there was a time for introducing a light system of military training, for example, the Swiss system, it will now meet with hearty approval of a very large majority of the people, for now is the psychological moment.
Two photographs are included, signed and dated December 1917 and in uniform on December 22, 1918. Signed in New Haven, Connecticut, July 23, 1919. Signed by Humbert Francis Cofrancesco, rank private, branch, field artillery, and QMC. The information contained was obtained from the following persons or sources: Honorable Discharge and Humbert Francis, Co-Francisco.